Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. God has saw fit to allow us to come together one more Wednesday night with Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and it's an honor to come before you guys as we explore the Word of God together. This is a wonderful time, and I thank each and every one of you, and I thank God, the Father, for allowing us to have this time together. I also thank each and every one of you, because there's many things that you could have been doing with your time. But here we are, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. Our lesson tonight is going to come from Scripture, but it's two-part Scriptures. So the first part is going to come from the book of Matthew, the 27th verse, the 50th through the, and the 51st verse, 50 and 51. And the second part is going to come from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verse. And our title for tonight is "The Veil Was Removed by the Blood of Jesus, and He Became Our Great High Priest." We are coming from, like I told you, the first part of Scripture is going to be Matthew 27, 50 and 51. And the second part of the Scriptures that we're going to explore is Hebrew, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 16th verse. And now it's time to go to the throne of grace, to go to God in prayer. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we study the Word of God and we begin to learn for ourselves what God is doing and has been doing and what promised to do for us. You know, it's important for us to know the Word of God, and it's important for us to understand the Word of God, because it's what strengthens us and it's what allows be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. So right now, before we start the lesson, as always, we're going to go into prayer. We're going to go to the throne of grace with prayer, acknowledging the God that we need Him. And after that, we'll have a song, and then we'll go straight into the lesson. If anybody, as always, would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll be able to open the mic for you. So if anyone would like to pray, if you press the one button on your phone, I'll open the mic, and you could pray. So again, tonight, through the grace of God, I see that Madison is on the line. And Madison, I'm opening your line. You hear, Madison?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say anything to the people before you pray?
Yes, ma'am. I hope you like the lesson.
Okay, you can pray.
God, thank you for this Wednesday right now at 8:30, starting the Bible study on the interweb right now. And just thank you for allowing my grandmother to be here to teach your word that came from the holy book that we should not take as regular book, but just a special book, the known book in the whole world, the bestseller book in this whole entire world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And as my grandma teaching the lesson, please, please let her be confident to get all the words that she wants out of her system, and just don't be nervous, please. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Thank you for your prayer. And as always, I'm proud of you, and you keep holding on to God, because He will see you through. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and play this song. And I was trying to find a special song that would line up with the lesson. And I wasn't able to get what I want, but I have this song, and I think it is appropriate because it says, "Good to know Jesus." So after the song go off, I'll come back. Thank you.
Everybody ought to know.
Yes, and that song is so true. You know, it's good to know God, and it's good to know him for yourself. You know, so many people that walk around and they're not studying the word of God, and they may not be visiting a church house, and they just take whatever someone tell them about the word of God, and they use that and they hold on to it. But it's good to know God for yourself. You know, and if somebody is saying something to you about the word of God and they're not saying it correctly, then you will repeat it that way and you will take it as true. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we all must study to show each and every one of ourselves approved as a workman, need not being ashamed. We have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to know Jesus, but we have to get to know him for ourselves. You know, it's all right the way he did for your mom, and it's all right the way he did for your daddy, but, you know, you ought to have expectations of what you want God to do for you. And tonight our lesson, the title of our lesson, like I said, is The Veil Was Removed by the Blood of Jesus, and he became our great High Priest. You know, this lesson was placed on my heart because there are certain things that Jesus Christ has done and is doing in our lives, but because we don't study the Word of God, we do not know all of the characteristics or the attributes of Jesus Christ and what he's doing for us. Our scripture is going to, first part is going to come from Matthew 27, 50 and 51. Second part is going to be Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the 14th through the 16th verse. When I got this title and I got the verses, you know, I always like to do background, and, you know, it's no secret that we fixing to embark upon the Easter Sunday, which represent, you know, the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and it plays such a great part in the lives of the believers because, you know, it's important to us that Jesus died and he shed his blood that was able to take away the sins of the world and gave us a chance to be saved. And not only did he die, but he resurrected to show us that he's a living God. He's with us always. He, you know, the grave couldn't keep him, and he rose. But what I want to talk about as far as the background, I'm just going to do a little background on the blood. You see the phrase, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we use this all the time. A lot of people who have heard about the blood of Jesus, sometimes their children be going to school, and before they leave, they say, I'm going to spread the blood of Jesus on them. You know, some people may have sickness, and they say, you know, sickness, I'm going to spread the blood of Jesus, you know, looking for healing. You got something going on in your life, addiction or whatever, and you might say, I'm going to put the blood of Jesus on it and wait for the deliverance. You know, and we'll say the blood of Jesus, but I'm just asking everybody to open up their mind right now and think about what they really know or understand about the blood of Jesus. You see, the phrase the blood of Jesus is used several times in the New Testament, and it is an expression of a sacrificial debt and full atoning work of Christ on our behalf. You know, we say the blood of Jesus is what, where the power is, and what, you know, that it had the power to save. So, you know, it atoned our, for our sins, and Jesus shed his blood for our behalf. You see, reference to the Savior blood include the realistic that he literally shed his blood on the cross. What am I saying? Literally, he really shed his blood on the cross. You remember how they beat him and they whipped him and they pierced him? You know, his blood was shed. But more significant that he shed the blood and died for the sinner. You see, the blood of Christ has the power to atone sins committed by all people throughout all ages and all faith, all of our faith rests in the fact that his blood will save us. Do you believe that the blood of Jesus has the power to save you? And if you know you're not saved, and you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and the blood can truly save you. Do you really believe that the blood has the power to save you? You know, when I got ready to write this and I wanted to talk about the blood, I had wrote a bunch of stuff, but something just told me that I just couldn't start it there, that I had to go back. You see, to speak on this subject, I had to go back to see when and where the power of the blood or the power or the lack thereof was first introduced to us in the Word of God. What I'm saying, I had to go back and see where the program was started in reference to blood and sacrifice, where it started and how it got to be where it is today. You see, God himself first introduced the significance of the blood, and it was in the Garden of Eden. You see, when man fell, when they ate the fruit and they fell, they knew they had sinned. All of a sudden, they felt naked, exposed. And because of what God had told them not to do, they remembered, and now they knew that they were destined to die because sin had entered the world. And the wages of sin was death. So now Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, got a real serious problem. They did what they did, and now they face to get what they're going to get. They knew they was naked. They felt exposed, and they knew they was destined to die. So what they did, they went and hid from God's presence and felt the total separation from God. You know, I don't know if you guys know it, but the Bible teaches us that sin separates us from God. It is true. It happens. But because of God's love for us, he made a way to allow us to come before him. And I want to tell you right now, the first prophecy in the Bible was given by God himself. And it goes all the way back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. In that time, God was, after man had sinned, and in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, God was already giving him hope. And he prophesied the coming of the ultimate blood sacrifice that would come, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, and it would be one time and one time only. That's Genesis 3:15. That's after man had sinned. So what happened after that, after Genesis and God? Man sinned, God created a way out, and then after that, what did he do? After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, God gave them skins of an animal to cover themselves up. Now watch this. God, they sinned in the beginning of the 3rd chapter. By the 15th verse, God had given them a promise. And at the 21st verse, you see God making provisions after they fallen state. Because in the 3rd chapter, in the 21st verse, God made skins to kill, you know, he took skins and made them clothes because they had leaves on them. But we have to see this. To get those skins, something or someone had to die. You see, in this case, it was an animal. So, in other words, God sacrificed an animal and shed the animal's blood to cover their sin. The blood. So if I look at this, I see from the beginning, God has declared the payment for sin is debt. So sin brought in debt. So to me, it seems like the blood must be shed to cover the sin. And then what happened? God made the first blood sacrifice for his people in the garden. He showed his love for us at the beginning of our sinning. Now that's love. You see, early in the Old Testament, God introduced the idea of one innocent being shedding its blood in place of the sinners. You see, God had this plan before the foundation of the world. I don't know if you ever sit down and you just wonder, why was sacrificing of animals ever put into place? Why did God use that when he could have used something else? But you see, God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And God had this master plan. You got to remember that in, you know, before Adam and Eve sinned, God knew that they would, because he's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. He knows everything. He already knew that they were sin, and a part of his master plan before the foundation of the world, he was putting things in place that our sin self, our sin nature, our weakness, stuff in place to help us with all of that. Because you see, the Bible said God is working it out together for our good, not just now, but before the foundation of the world. However, the solution of sacrificing bulls and goats and lambs for the sins of each person's sin was only a temporary fix. You see, what happened in the Old Testament, when they would go to the priest and they would go to the temple and they made a sacrifice, you know, God, that sacrifice of them lambs and bulls, it never took away the sin. It could only cover the sin. So, you know, God had another plan. And you see, because this was that, what they was doing was a temporary fix, and the next year another animal would have to be sacrificed for the same person. Because the person had sinned again and they needed more blood and they had to kill another animal, and it went on and on and on, because God knows and knew in his ultimate wisdom that as long as we live on the earth and we live in this flesh body, flesh is going to crave the things of the flesh. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much word you know. I don't care how many places you done went. I don't care. Flesh is going to crave fleshly things. Yes, we are pressing for the mark of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. Yes, we are planning to be better tomorrow than we are today. But God in his ultimate wisdom knew that we could never do it on our own. And that's why he sent his son. And that's why his son shed his blood. And that's why his blood has the power to save us if we believe and if we accept him as our Lord and our Savior and our Master. You see, ever since Adam and every human being born since then was born with a sin nature. So everyone born no one could save humanity, because we were all born with a simple nature. The only way was it had to be something that was sinless, and none of us could fit the bill. So what happened? God himself became a man in the form of Jesus, which means the Lord saves, and died for us in our place. Therefore, everyone who accepts the sacrifice of Jesus on his and her behalf, that's how you get covered with the blood, and you're saved. You see, sin stole our chance to live forever with God, which was God's intent. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, God intended it for them to live forever in his presence, with his fellowship, you know, communing one with another. That was the intent. But sin stole that. But it's amazing how God deals with us. And this is us. I'm talking about us. It's, you know, you, me, and us now. It is amazing how God deals with us with his intended purpose in mind at all times. Yeah, I might not be what God want me to be right now, but God is not. God is working with me with his intended purpose in mind. You know how some things in your life could come to pass, like 10 years, and it maybe looked like it started or the thought was planted then, but it don't come to pass until 10 years because God is always working with you with his intended purpose for you. You see, he looks beyond your faults, and he take care of all of your needs. You see, God is a God of a second chance, and he allowed his son to shed his blood. He allowed them to be beaten. He allowed him to be crucified, and then he died to take the sins of the world away once and for all. And you got to remember this. Sin kill it, but the blood gives life. We're going to go into our first scriptures. It's Matthew 27, 50 and 51. And the scriptures read as this. When Jesus, he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost, which means died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent. For those who have your Bible, that means to be torn. Entwined, which means two. From the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. They had an earthquake. Remember when, if you never read it and you looked at the movie, The Ten Commandments or whatever, you saw that they had an earthquake. So the earthquake and the rocks rent, which means split. And I'm going to read it, you know, that's what the scripture said. And they say when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, this is when Jesus was on the cross. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. And it's not in the scripture, but after, right before that, he said, before he cried out, he said, it is finished. And he yielded up the ghost. He died. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks rent. They split. Let me tell you about this temple. For those familiar with it, I pray, you know, if I leave something out and you know something that I did at the end of the program, you'll enlighten all of us. But the temple was a place where animal sacrifices was carried out and worship according to the law of Moses. And it was, the law was followed faithfully. You see, Hebrews 9, 1 through 9 tells us, if you want to find out, go to Hebrews 9 through 1. It'll give you all an explanation. I'm giving you the scriptures. But it tells us that the veil, that in the temple, the veil separated the holies of holies. And the holies of holy was the earthly dwelling place of God's presence. For those who don't know, there was an ark of a covenant. In those days, even when they was in the wilderness, God, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people, and all of us know in the New Testament, he lives inside of us. There was an ark of a covenant, and God was believed by the people to be in the ark of the covenant, and God's presence was there. And plenty of times when they didn't have a temple because they was being, you know, captured by other nations and different things like that, God lived in the ark, and they would carry it around. And, you know, God, they had good reason to believe that it was so holy because one time the ark was fixing to fall, and a man was just trying to be helpful, and he went there to try to help put the ark up, and he dropped dead. But, you know, God's presence was in the ark. So in the temple, they had three places. They had the part of the temple where people like maybe went to worship and stuff. Then they had another one, a holy temple where only the priests could enter. And then they had the most holy place where only the high priest could enter, and he could only enter once a year to atone for the sins of the nation. And you can find all of that in Leviticus 16:1-35. So let me paint you a picture. If you ever looked at Jerusalem and you saw all of these big old temples, the temple was big. In the temple, this was the part where people went to worship, like they went to church. They had a room behind that that separated from the room where everybody go. They had another little room where the priests went in to make the sacrifices and stuff. Behind that room, and this is not a parable, this is a fact. Behind that room, they had another room, but they had a veil or a curtain in front of it. And it wasn't no ordinary veil. The veil, it was so high. And the curtain was so thick. They say you would need at least 300 men on each side of that curtain to pull it and to move it. So you could understand the massiveness of this veil. And this veil was in front of the holies of holies where God was living. And you see, inside of there, it wasn't much in there, and it wasn't that big because it was the Ark of Covenant. And you know when God was dropping mammon from the sky for the children when they was in Israel, they had some mammon in there. Come on now. And then they had two angels sitting on two cherubims, which is angels, sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and they stayed there all the time. And once a year, the priest would go in there. And it would just be the priest and God. Now, there's a story that goes around, and I don't know if it's true, and I have used it before, but they say that the priest used to have to take and put a rope around his leg and put a bell on, because if he went in there and he wasn't right, that he would drop dead. And if he dropped dead, no one could go in and get him, so they had to pull him out with a rope. Well, I couldn't find that in the Bible, but they say it all the time. You see, the curtain of the veil separated the holiest place from the most holiest place. And you see what the scripture said when Jesus yielded up the ghost. And the 51st chapter said, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent. So the curtain of the veil separating the holiest and the most holiest was torn in two immediately after Jesus' death. So what I'm saying to you guys now, I don't know if you ever thought about the veil or the curtain. I don't know if you ever thought about thanking Jesus Christ for removing the veil or splitting the veil. I don't know if you understand what Jesus Christ really did by tearing the veil and opening the veil and why it was necessary for the veil to be removed. Now, remember, I said no one could go in there but the priest. And he could only go in once a year. And he went in for the atonement of the sins of the nation. You see, this veil symbolized, and it lets us know that there was a barrier between God and man. Man could not go in there. But when Jesus died, the veil was removed. So what am I saying? When Jesus died and the veil was removed, it was split in half, what do that mean for us? That means that Jesus' death and the shedding of his blood split the curtain open or removed the curtain. And once that happened, we have access to God for ourselves. Could you imagine living in a world and have to go to somebody to go to God for you, and they might be busy and they might not go the way you like it? But God has given us the ability to come straight to him for ourselves. And he said we could come any time of the day, any time we want to, and just come to him, and yet we don't take and give him time. But the veil was removed. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. And his presence dwelt in the temple. And because of the death of Jesus Christ, the veil was removed, and God now dwells inside of his people by his spirit. God couldn't have a relationship with those people until Jesus' death, because you see, after Adam and Eve had sinned, sin separated us from God. And sin, God cannot dwell in sin. So there was a separation. And Jesus bridged the gap. Come on now. Jesus removed the blocks from in front of us. You know, this signified that man was separated from God by the sin of Adam and Eve when sin entered the world. You see, there's a scripture in Isaiah 59:1-2 said, "Behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ears dull that he can't hear. But our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." They say nothing wrong with his ear. He could hear. He can't hear you because he can't hear us because of the sin that needed to be removed. And that's way in Isaiah 59:1-2 for those who are writing down Isaiah 59:1-2. And God had given that to the prophets. You know, I can't touch him. I can't reach him because, you know, there's a barrier because of the sin. So in a sense, the veil was symbolic of Jesus Christ himself as the only way to God. You see, the curtain was the only way to enter and get to the God, but only the priest could go. But you see, Jesus is like our new veil, and the only way to get to Christ, to get to God, is through Jesus Christ. But it's not just for the priest, it's for everyone throughout all the ages, no matter how old or young, white, black, Gentiles, Jews, you all can come. Jesus made that way. Because you see, the Bible say no one can come to me, talking about unless the Father who sent me draws him to him. That's what Jesus say. You know, and God say you can't come to me without going through my Son. You see, God always desired to have a personal relationship with his people. And the blood of Jesus made that desire possible. Now, Christ is our superior high priest. And as believers in his finished work, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Have you accepted him with your whole heart? We are partakers of his better priesthood. We can now enter the holiness of holies, which is the presence of God, through what Jesus has done. That's a wonderful thing. You know, have you ever, ever, ever in your life thanked Jesus for removing a veil? Come on, y'all. You know, Jesus did a lot of things, and this is just one of them. We now can go to God by ourselves. We could have a one-on-one personal relationship with God. And we have to thank Jesus for that. You see, just as only God and the priest was in the holiest and holiest, God made a way for us to have a one-on-one relationship with God. You see, the veil being torn from the top and the bottom is a fact of history. I don't want you to think that this is a story or it's a parable or it could be, you know, just an analogy or something like that. This is a fact. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Gospels. They say when Jesus gave up the ghost, the curtain was torn. And the profound significance of this event is explained in glorious details in the book of Hebrews. Read it for yourself, and I promise you, you'll be blessed. It's in the book of Hebrews. The things of the temple was a shadow of the things that was going to come. You know, plenty of times I tell y'all, everything in the Bible, even from Genesis all the way to Revelation, brings us to Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is no different. The veil. You know, you got to really see what God was doing. The blood. you know, you got to really think about that. And I guarantee you the Holy Ghost is going to give you some illumination and revelation that you could understand some of the deep things of God and what he's saying, why he's saying it, and who he's saying it to. You see, the things of the temple was a shadow of the things to come, and they will ultimately point us to Jesus Christ. And through his death, we are now free to have total access to God. Jesus Christ, through his death, has removed the barriers between God and man. And now we may approach him with confidence and boldly. He's saying, you got the right. When we accepted Christ, we became heirs and joint heirs. We became adopted. We became to have full and legal rights. God became our father, and we became his child. And he said, I will not withhold anything from you. He said, I love you so much that I allowed my son to die for you. And we should be thankful. We're not trying to do the right things to be saved. We are trying to do the right things because we realize what God has done for us. And we're going to look at the other scriptures, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 4 through 16. And the 14th verse says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we were, yet without sin. And the 16th verse says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Y'all know what about that mercy, huh? And find grace to help in time of need. You know, every time you say mercy, you need to say hallelujah. Because mercy is a bad boy. And when you understand why God gave us mercy and what mercy really represents, you know, it'll make us walk around with a smile on our face. You see, because when we say, now this scripture say where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of trouble. That's not me saying that. That's the scripture. If you got your Bible, you're looking at it. But I want you to know that mercy is like this. Mercy is what God bestows upon his people. Now, mercy is God withholding punishment that you deserve. You see, that's mercy. God, mercy is God withholding something that you deserve. I'm going to give you a little quick answer. You go to jail, you were speeding, and the judge say, I'm going to throw it out. You see, that's mercy. Because you were speeding. Come on now. That was mercy. You see, mercy is holding back what you deserve. See, when Jesus died, that's why Jesus, God gave us his son, which was mercy. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gave us mercy because God held back what we deserve, the debt, because of the sin. Come on now. God sent his son full of mercy to hold back the punishment that we deserve. And then the scripture don't just stop there. They turn around and they say, and find grace. You see, and grace is the blessing we receive that we don't deserve. Mercy holds back what you deserve, and grace give you things you don't deserve. How could you lose with a God like that? Grace and mercy is all over the Bible. Understand it. Hold on to it. Expect it. Read it. Quote it. Say it with a spirit of expectancy. God loves you when you call him on his word. Lord, you say, you know, you're going to, you know, we could come to you boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. That's what the scriptures say. It said, I'm going to read the 16 again. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, the scripture let us know that it's important. It's important. It's an important point about Jesus' priesthood. You see, every priesthood, every priest, even now, I guess with the Catholic priests, so every priest is appointed from among men. But watch this. Jesus was chosen, ordained, glorified by God before the foundation of the world to become a man, which he did by allowing himself to be born of a virgin in order to suffer the death and serve as our high priest. You know, Jesus in the Bible is, in many times, is always said, Jesus, the great high priest. I just wanted to take a little time and share that with you about the veil and Jesus being a great high priest, knowing what you got, knowing what he is, and knowing what he's going to do for you, know what he promised to do. You see, that great high priest, you see, the high priest could only enter once in a year, in the temple. But Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us at all times. And he's interceding as your great high priest. Have you ever said, Jesus, my great high priest? Try it and see how it feels and see if it fits. You see, like the high priest of the old time, Jesus mediated between God and us. You know, there was a time in the Catholic religion where they used to go to confession, or they would go to the priest, you know, and they would go there to, you know, in hopes that the priest would go to God for them, and the priest would tell them to do something to you know, cover up their sin or take away their sin or whatever. But you see, we don't have to do that because Jesus mediates between God and us. You see, as a human being representative, he assures us that God has forgiven us because the blood, the power in the blood, and if you accept Jesus Christ, the blood that Jesus shed for you way back on Calvary, it's the saving power. So Jesus mediate between God and us, and as God's representative, Jesus, he allows us to know that Jesus, that God's forgive. You see, Jesus has more authority than a Jewish high priest because only he is truly God and truly man. You see, that's the other thing. You see, as a man, he was subject to all the weakness and temptations that we are, so that he can personally relate to our struggles. You see, Jesus walked the earth. They spit in his face. The devil took him up and tried to get him to denounce God. He was tempted on every side. He was lied on. He was talked about. He was criticized. They spit in his face. They put nails in his hand for something he didn't do. So ain't nothing you could talk about that God, Jesus don't know about or that went through. So how much better is someone who has suffered and went through things that you may go through in your life that he could sympathize and empathize with you? You see, Jesus is like us because he experienced a full range of temptations. Yes, he did. Jesus is greater than any other priest, so that's why they call him the great high priest. You know, one day when you're walking around or maybe you're meditating after the lesson over, call him great high priest. And that gives us the boldness to come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain earth. And that's how we going to obtain that mercy I talked about earlier and find that grace to help us in our time of need. The scripture let us know that Jesus is the great high priest, and he bridged the gap that made a way for us to go to God for ourselves. Perhaps the most critical thing for believers to understand today is that it is because of Jesus as our great high priest, come on now, that we can approach God with confidence. This should give us a stronger desire to obey and to submit unto him. We no longer need to go through any earthly mediator. I mean, it's all right to go to your pastor. And, you know, if y'all have priests, it's all right to go to the priest. And, you know, you can share what's going on. But, you know, as Jesus, as our great high priest, it's just let you know that you can go to God. You can go straight to God. Jesus has broken a barrier. He made the sacrifice. He established a new covenant of grace. You know, in the Old Testament, they lived by the law, and in the New Testament, Jesus brought the grace. When Jesus died, we entered a dispensation of grace. Come on now, would y'all like to be living under the law? They had 613. We don't have that many. Well, I guess we got a lot of laws on the books, but not laws in reference to our relationship with God. But they had 613 laws, and God knew that mankind in and of itself would not ever be able to accomplish. So what he did, he sent his son that shed his blood, that allowed the veil to be split in two, and his son took his rightful place as your great high priest. Because of our great high priest, we are free to come to God for ourselves and have a personal relationship with him. So tonight I'm going to just ask you, let us please recognize who God, who Jesus truly is, and what he truly did on our behalf, and what he is doing daily in our lives. And as I close tonight, you see, God established a way in which men might be saved. When something or someone is sacrificed, they're shed in the blood, because without blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. The sacrifice of bulls and goats could only cover the sin, and it left the debt penalty attached. See, they would cover the sin, but the penalty of debt stayed there. But oh, when God sent his son and the precious blood of Jesus was applied, the penalty of debt was gone. And they say, oh, debt, where's thy sting? He took the sting out of debt. You see, God is the ultimate. God in his ultimate wisdom knew to save mankind, it had to be a sacrifice of a man. You know, the law surrounding the type of sacrifice it had to be, and everything had to be complete and done by the letter and by the law. God knew that, and God did whatever was in place. So he knew the sacrifice had to be without spots, without sin, without blemish, and no human could fit the bill. You see, unlike the Leviticus priests who had to continually offer sacrifices, Jesus only had to offer himself as a sacrifice once, because he was complete. He was in position. He was in order. And he did it once and for all. You see, he gained eternal redemption for all who come to God through him. You see, God allowed himself to become a man in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. God has done his part, and we must do ours. Jesus truly paid the price, and all to him we owe. That's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, if there's someone who would like to make a comment, you know, there could be another aspect to this that maybe I didn't say, you know, maybe there's a question that you really didn't understand. But I'm asking at this time if anyone would like to say anything, anyone would like to add anything to it, or they may want to pray. And I need to tell you, I need to tell you guys this. Next Wednesday, I'm not going to have a show. Next Wednesday, I have a medical procedure that has to be done, but I'm going to Washington, D.C. for a second opinion, and I will be in Washington taking tests Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I'm asking that each and every one of you would pray with me and pray for me, so I won't be back on Wednesday night. And I just have to thank God the way he worked things out, because, you know, I'm going to get to go for a second opinion to the NIH in Washington, D.C., but that's the Maryland. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. So I am really, truly thankful to God that I have that opportunity to have a second opinion that down that way. But I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for me and pray along with me, you know, for the outcome of my test. And like I said, we won't have a lesson on next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that we'll be back again. So if there's anyone who would like to add to the lesson, or anyone who would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone right now. It is now 9:27. Glory be to God. We still within our 1 hour time. So if anybody would like to say, okay, I got a call at 985-224-83. Your line is now open, caller.
Minister Diane, again, thank you. Thank you. Your lesson tonight was right on time. I do have a question, but before that, I just want you to know that I, along with the rest of your listeners, will be going in prayer for you, and we know that God has everything under control. We know that you will go and get this second opinion, come back, and it will be fine, and we'll be back with you in 2 weeks. But we definitely will be praying. Our thoughts and prayers will be with you because we love you. I do have a question, Minister Diane, and I don't know if you answered it tonight, but I might have missed it. And that question have always bothered me. Where was Joseph when Jesus was crucified? We always hear of Mary and, you know, his mother and all was there. I don't know if the scripture tells us where Joseph was or what, but I'm going to hang up, and I just hope you can answer that question for us. Again, thank you for bringing God's word to us week after week, empowering us from listening to you. Thank you again, and God be with you. We love you.
And you don't have to hang up. You don't have to hang up. But let me tell you this about Joseph. The Bible doesn't say where Joseph was. But when Jesus was crucified and Jesus told John, this is your mother, and he told Mary, this is your son. So we know Joseph was dead. And really and truly, you don't hear anything else about Joseph. When Jesus, when Mary and Joseph had went to Jerusalem to pay their tax 1 year, and it was, you know, they used to travel in caravans, and when they was going there on their way back, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And they went back, Mary and Joseph went back to the temple, and they found Jesus teaching with power and authority, and he was 12 years old. Really and truly, after that, there's nothing else you'll ever hear about Joseph in the Bible.
All right.
So it didn't say when and how and why, but there's nothing else about Joseph in the Bible once he went back and found Jesus. And it's kind of a little amazing to me, because on that journey, Jesus had made 12 years old. And in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish culture, when a boy made 12 years old, they made their bar mitzvahs, and they was like entering into manhood. So it's almost like, you know, Jesus was making 12. Joseph, you know, was there because he went and they got him out the temple. But after that, you don't hear about him no more. And just like Mary, after Mary at the crucifixion of Christ and God, Jesus telling her to telling John to take care of her. You don't hear anything else about Mary in the Bible.
Thank you so much. You know, there's one other thing that I've, you always hear people say that the disciples scattered when Jesus was being crucified. They were also scared. They scattered. They were scared for their own lives. And you always hear the disciples, all the disciples scattered, except Judas. We know he was dead. But all of them didn't, because John was there. He was there. So at least one of those disciples didn't run away. And
well, they didn't run. They scattered a little bit. Yeah, John was there. But when they came to get him out the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's when they had gotten him, and that's when they started to scatter. Because, you see, once they was crucifying him, they wasn't kind of worrying about him as much anymore, because they hadn't got Jesus. Because, you know, when Peter was doing his thing, and he was trying to peek incognito, and they kept saying, you was with him. But John definitely was there at the crucifixion, because Jesus, and you see, maybe John might have, all of them had scattered. But you know, this is the way I like to look at it. God can always make provisions. God wanted John to take care of Mary. So John had to be there.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
You know.
I got it.
You know,
thank
it's
you
just, it's
so
just,
much.
You know, and Peter had to deny him three times, so he had to peep incognito. Because it's all a master plan. And John was Jesus' best friend. Well, I'll say closest disciple. Remember, John is also the one that wrote first, second, and third John.
Yes.
And John is the same one wrote the Gospel of John. And John is the same way Jesus came back and picked him up and showed him everything that was going to be in the book of Revelation. The same John.
Same John. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Di.
I hope I answered your question.
You did. You answered it. And again, our prayers and our love go with you. Good night.
Thank you so much. Are there any other questions? Anybody can add anything to the lesson about the veil, the blood, or the high priest? You know, it's hard when I get a lesson like this, because people, the Bible teaches that people like to hear certain kind of lessons. But you see, all of it is necessary for our learning and our growth. You know, it might not be all the time something that'll tickle your ear, you know, because people, it's easy to say, you know, no weapon going to form against me, going to prosper. You're familiar with that, that's comforting, you know what it kind of means. But we got to explore the whole word of God, and we got to learn everything we can about Jesus, about what he's doing, what he has done, and what he's promised to do for us, so that our lives may be more enriched, and we could truly go to the throne, with boldness and receive that mercy that scripture was talking about, and understand, you know, we got to get that grace, you know, and you know, that's what we have to do. So at this time, if no one else would like to say anything, anybody need prayer, and I want y'all to keep in mind, please pray for me. You know, one of the things I could pray for everybody, you know, but it's, I'm not saying it's hard for me to ask for prayer, but it's just something, you know, I don't do very much. But, you know, I need you guys to pray for me. And I'm thanking you guys in advance. We have two callers done lit up. So the first caller, your number is 347-387. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Pastor Diane. This is Bambi. How are you? And I want to say thank you for the word. And I want to say thank you for taking us all the way back to Genesis, because in a way you kind of reminded us that Jesus was the second Adam when Adam came and we had the fall with Eve and Adam. Someone had to come and rectify who we were and how God wanted us to be, because we were supposed to be a perfect people. And Jesus did that. And so I appreciate the fact that you brought us back to that, you know, by going to Genesis. And, you know, there, like you said, there were many things that Jesus did, and one of the things was to come back and right the wrong of Adam and Eve. So, and I also want to say with regard to your travels on next week, you know, it's almost like the centurion, we could say, Jesus, without even putting your hands on Diane, you can heal her and you can make right whatever there is, because all you need to do is say the word. There's that much belief, there's that much power in just your word. Or we can go back and say, like the leper, if it is, if you will it, if you will it, you can just touch me and make me whole again. You know, so we're praying that God gives insight and understanding to the people that you're going to be seeing for your second opinion. Because sometimes, you know, some people think they see things and it may not be what they want to be, but at the end of the day, God has all of the rights to do what he will. He's sovereign. And he can make anything right, no matter what anyone said prior to. He can make it all go away. And we're going to be praying for you. And I'm going to be in deep prayer that everything turns out well. And we know that sometimes God says no, but even in that, there will be a good that will come out of it all. Because I think you're doing a good thing. You have a mighty word to share. And as long as you continue to share that word, you are doing everything that God has placed you here to do. And we are going to be better for it all. But we will be praying for you. And we'll be praying earnestly that you get good news when you go to D.C.
I just want to say thank you so much, Bamalyn. And thank you for that. I needed that. And now I'm going to go to the other caller. Caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open. You can speak at this time.
Hi. I really appreciate your teaching tonight. I really enjoyed it. I have two boys myself, and I can understand. I can't understand what God had to do to give up his son. I can't. I really can't, but I do know I have to put God before any of my feelings for my sons to get right with him. And for Jesus to walk a pure and perfect life, that's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm so blessed that I have a son that is doing good, and I pray for his roommate constantly. And I'm going to have prayers for you, especially for you, Miss Diane, because I really love you. And that's all I have
to say.
I love
you as well. And I thank you so much for those words of encouragement, and I just want you to know God loves all of us. And I love all of us as well. And thank you for them words of encouragement. I have another caller. Your number is 504-51014. Your line is now open and you can speak.
Hi, Sister Diane. I like the prayer went forth tonight. And I'm going to pray for you, and I love you, and you're going to be all right. I needed that word tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows all of our needs. He knows. And we have to really pray for each other. You know, we come every Wednesday night.
Yes,
we are like a Wednesday night family. We got to learn to start praying for each other. We don't know each other.
Yes.
But, you know, we pray for the people on the line, and we pray for the heartaches and ask God for mercy on the people on the line. You know, we have to, you know, we can start doing that because we come together every Wednesday. But I sure enough thank you, 510. Is it anything else you'd like to say?
No, Miss Diane. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for the word. Just this dirt.
Yeah, I got you, Dr. Jermaine. That's my neighbor, my next-door neighbor. I am so grateful, you know, that God, I'm just grateful that I have neighbors and family members and all like that to, you know, take time to listen to my thing. These are people that see me every day. They see me in season. They see me out of season. They see me when I'm good. They see me when I'm bad.
Yes,
but they
so,
still
yes,
come.
So.
You know, that's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
You know, they say, the Bible say, can you have influence on anybody? But I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going back to the throne of grace in prayer. And then we're going to end for the night because I don't like to hold you too long. But dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I ask that you allow the blood of Jesus to be upon this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I come to you, Jesus, the great high priest. I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking that every need through this line be met, dear God. If it's dealing with health, if it's dealing with finances, if it's dealing with relationships, dear God, if it's a problem with the children, dear God, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down and you work it out together for all of our good, dear God. Heavenly Father, I know you're a healer, you're a heart fixer, you're a mind revelator, you'll be a mother, a father, you're going to be the doctor in the sick room, you're the lawyer in the courtroom. Lord, we just say thank you because you're all that and so much more to us. How can we lose with what you use, Jesus? And we come into you with a humble heart and clean hands, and we asking you, dear God, to have mercy upon us and allow us to establish and feel your grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that there is no other name besides the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Heavenly Father, we thanking you for being our God. We thanking you for your mercy and your grace, your Son and your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We thank you for your word that won't return void. Lord, I pray that everyone that listened, dear God, that you give them illumination and revelation of the word that you say. Give us hope, dear God. Give us peace. Give us joy in the midst of our circumstances and our health and our adversities, dear God, because you are a way maker. We thank you that Jesus Christ came, because without his coming and without his blood and him taking the position of the high priest and renting the curtain, dear God, we couldn't come to you for ourselves. I thank you, Jesus, for bridging the gap. I thank you, dear Jesus, for allowing yourself to be beaten, crucified. I thank you for being put in a bar of tune. And I thank you on Easter Sunday morning, you rose. 3 days later, you rose. I thank you, and you became the living God. You became my living Jesus. And you could walk with me and talk with me. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these blessings, for all of our sakes. Bless in the blessings that are in need of. And Lord, after that, there's no more we can ask of you. But I come to your throne with the representative, my mediator, Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And thank God. And that's our program for tonight. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you called in. I'm going to go to D.C. with all of y'all prayers in my heart. And I'm going to come back with the report of the Lord. So y'all be blessed. Enjoy the week coming in. Get you some rest on Wednesday night. Study your new lesson on Wednesday. But you be blessed. And I won't be with you next Wednesday, but I'll be the Wednesday after that. God loves you and so do I. And as we close, but you should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. Amen. And thank God. Good night. Be blessed.